Well, hello, oddballs. It's your host, Bobby.
And your co-host, Lexi.
And this is
Oddities on Elm Street.
Oh, this is episode 52, by the way.
Oh!
A whole year's worth, even though we're quite off. Well, thank you for joining us on episode 52 today. It's been a while. We have to explain all of this over again. We just filmed our mini episode for our Patreon, if you want to go check that out. But yeah, if you're part of our Patreon, even if you're just signed up as like a free member, you probably are aware that we took some time off for the holidays, and then that just kept extending because
life, you know?
Yeah, we got snowed in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Lost power. A tree fell on my house. I forgot to mention that.
That'll do it. You had your whole ass gallbladder removed.
I did. Yes, I did. I had to have emergency surgery. Very unexpected. But we're back. We're back and better than ever. So, today, we're going to do listener tales. I'm so excited. We had a topic planned the next time we were supposed to record back in 2023.
Meep.
Obviously, that didn't happen. We might cover it in the future. But I thought, what a perfect way to kick off our show again in this new year by reading stories sent in by our listeners. That's what we're going to do today. So, before we jump in, just know that if you have a story you'd like to share with us, you can send it to our email at listenertales@gmail.com.
Listenertales@gmail.com.
I was waiting.
Thank you.
So, yeah, thanks to everyone who sent in their stories. Hope you guys enjoy. So, our first story comes from Daisy.
Daisy.
I love Daisy.
Yeah.
It's my dog's name.
Oh.
I don't mean that like...
I know. But that Daisy dog is great. I love Daisy.
That dog is my life. Anyways, so Daisy says, I just started listening a week or two ago, but I'm a massive fan of your show. I don't have much of a tale for you. It's pretty short, and it's my mother's account of what happened, not mine. Anyways, my bedroom has always been cold compared to the others in the house. Like, not just a bit colder, it's significant. A few degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit.
Meep.
You lost me.
That doesn't make any sense to me. My stupid American brand.
I also used to have this rocking chair in my room as a baby. Oh, boy. And it's where my mom would sit when she was trying to get me to sleep. This was often the coldest spot in the room, and it's nowhere near my vent or fan. I used to wake up from nightmares a lot, claiming that there was someone in the chair.
Mm-mm.
But my mom just thought I was still dreaming and ignored it until one day when I was around 5. I was wide awake and I called her into the room. Apparently, I said something to her like, "The man in the rocking chair is watching me. Make him go away. I can't sleep." Daisy, I'm sorry, but if my child said this to me.
The day is coming. You know that, right?
I will burn the house down. So she says, just to comfort me, she turned to the chair and very loudly said, "Go away." And almost immediately the room was warmer and I started sleeping full nights for the first time ever. My mom told me the story about a year or two ago when I mentioned that my room was always cold. And since then, it's mostly been the same temperature as the rest of the house again, as though whatever was in there doesn't like me knowing about it. She insists to this day that it's her father who died when she was a teenager. And I have to admit, I'm starting to agree. My room does still get cold every now and then, especially where the rocking chair used to be. There's a footstool there now, and I always clear a space on the end just in case he's there and wants to sit down.
Aww.
That's so sweet. Though the idea is mildly unsettling and the cold spots throw me off a bit, I can't say his presence has ever been scary. Stern maybe when I'm being lazy and it's like there's someone telling me to get up and do what I need to do. But mostly it's a sense of comfort, as though someone is sitting on my bed, calming me when I have nightmares, or sitting next to me while I watch movies. It's nice.
Hmm.
Well, I was so surprised when she told me this, as she's not the type of person to believe in ghosts. I was expecting something like, your window's broken, and her tone was just as casual, but her words were, there's always been ghosts in your room. Oh, thanks, Mom. Ah. I don't know if there's more than one in here. Oh, she says ghosts, plural. Lovely. Her father passed away over an hour away from here by car 35 years ago, and he never made himself known to her until I was a kid. Hmm. I don't know if it's him here, but I always try to be respectful of him in any way I can. Well, that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's it for that one.
Thanks, Daisy.
Thanks, Daisy. Appreciate it. The next story comes from our listener, Elise.
Elise.
Okay, this one isn't necessarily a listener tale, I guess, but Elise emailed me something very, very interesting after hearing one of our episodes. So this is what she says. She did send in a few other stories in a separate email, but I still need to read through those. Okay, so she says, hello, I just found your podcast this week, and clearly, given the fact that I'm already on episode 32, I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I was so happy to discover yet another amazing podcast done by fellow Michiganders.
Michigan.
Yeah. In late high school and early college, my now fiancé, at the time he was the best friend of the guy I was dating, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, girl.
Worked at some parks in the Grand Rapids area. He told me one day that he came to work and there was a ton of cops because they found a headless body. Do you know where this is going?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I asked him to give me updates because I loved true crime, but he said the only update he ever really got was a cop told him it was just a homeless guy. This has always bothered me, regardless of someone's housing situation. Heads don't just get up and disappear. My fiance has never been much into true crime, and I'm pretty sure I wasn't even living in Michigan yet. I had the misfortune of being born and raised in Ohio.
I'm glad you came over.
Yeah.
You did yourself right.
Yeah. So we both missed any news updates on it. The case has been on my mind for years, and I've asked him about it many times, but for some reason I never Googled it. 2 years ago, we moved to the Lansing area specifically, and I discovered a local true crime podcaster in town and religiously listened to her Michigan stories. I kind of assumed, after getting caught up, that if the case had been something, it would have showed up on there. Imagine my surprise when I'm on my way home from Meijer tonight, stuck in traffic, and worried my ice cream's going to melt on my Lean Cuisines, when I hear mention of Gazan Park. As soon as I got home, I told my fiancé about it, and he was absolutely shocked, because his explanation, he had always said when I questioned him about the head, was that maybe an animal took it. I'm thoroughly disappointed in myself because it turns out I could have literally just Googled the name of the park, and an MLive article about the case would have been the second search result. Sorry for the lengthy ramble I just wanted to share because you solved a mystery that had been bugging me for years. Also, not to be that person, but I did grow up in a haunted house, so if you ever want to hear stories,
yes,
let me know.
Yes, yes, please.
So if you don't know...
One of the craziest cases, in my opinion.
In my opinion, it is the craziest case that's probably taken place around us. Brooke Slocum.
For me, it's right up there with Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley Young. Yeah, we did an episode on that. Gosh, it was a while back, but...
Craigslist.
Brief summary. Yeah, she met someone on Craigslist. Her boyfriend was killed. She was taken and held for 3 days, I think. And she was 9 months pregnant.
He was decapitated.
The boyfriend, yes.
Found in a park.
Yes. And so that's what she's referring to. And there was a police chase with the suspect. He fled, crashed his car, and committed suicide. And they found Brooke's body in the trunk. So
I think about it every time that I
go over that overpass.
Yeah. Well, because now I live fairly close. Right. So it's like, if I'm ever like on 28th Street getting onto 131 North.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
That's so crazy. Yeah, that one definitely hit close to home, especially because my parents are friends with Brooke's father.
Wow.
I do think that's really cool, though. I'm really glad that Elise wrote in about that. I don't know. I just love that. It's like full circle type of thing. All right. So our next story comes from Ace. And they say, I love your podcast so much. It was my second most listened to on Spotify Wrap. Loved. Anyways, my tale is from when I was a teen in the mental hospital. My first night, I'm laying in bed trying to sleep facing the wall when I hear what sounds like one of the young kids that are there crying in my room. So I quickly turn around, but nothing's there. I don't like this. I got chills. I don't know. I get scared because the door to the room is so loud, I would have heard them enter and leave. I decide to ignore it and turn back over and go to sleep. The next night, I'm sleeping when I feel someone tap my shoulder and wake me up. I assume it's the nurse, but it's weird that they would be waking me up by touching me. They typically just come in and check on us and then leave. I then realize the door is closed. They never close the door. Because it's so loud, they don't want to wake us up. I know this because I hate light while I'm sleeping. It'll almost always wake me up. So I'll get up and close it after them. Maybe they decided to close it since I got up anyways. But there's no way they could close it without me hearing after waking me up. I get up and go out asking the nurses if they need me, if they needed me, but they didn't and seem very confused. I go back to sleep. The next couple of nights are calm, but I keep hearing a child in my room. At this point, my parents have brought me my books and they keep being moved around to different places in my room when I leave it or go to sleep. I just assume it's a child spirit from a past patient and I don't mess with it. Then, after those couple of days, I go to bed early while a kid is fighting with the nurses. After like 10 minutes, I hear banging on the wall that I share with another patient's room. Hold on, I gotta double space this because I'm having a hard time reading it. I still haven't gotten my glasses. I got my eye exams and not my glasses.
Just one more step.
All right. After like 10 minutes, I hear banging on the wall I share with another patient's room, and it feels slash looks like the walls are closing in on me. I have a panic attack over this and eventually fall asleep with it all happening. The next day, I ask other kids if they heard it, and none of them did. I get a bad feeling, but I don't tell any nurses because I don't think they'd believe me. I've seen how they judge another kid in the building who has hallucinations. It doesn't happen again, though, but the night before I leave, I hear the sounds of a child playing as I fall asleep. I've been back, but never in that room again, and the last time I had an encounter was when a girl who was in that room tried to kill herself.
Oh my God.
So I was crying in my room when suddenly I feel a child's hand on my shoulder comforting me, and I hear them in the corner of my room for the rest of the night. I don't know if it was different spirits or what, so you can decide.
Interesting. I wonder what the history of that building is.
I will just say, I say this every time I go to the hospital, that you can't convince me that those places aren't haunted. They have to be some of the most haunted places to exist.
Yeah.
Like, people always think, like, oh, graveyards are so haunted because, you know,
that's not where you die.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's not when you cross over the other side. That's usually in a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to go to the hospital more than I'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never had any haunted experiences, but it's always just I just don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, I agree. I had a friend who worked at a hospital as a nurse. She told me about this time that a patient had passed away and they had to bring the body down into the morgue. And she was saying that, like, they got in the elevator and she swore that she heard, like, a man's voice say something to her, but the person that she was with didn't hear it, and it freaked her out so much that she's like, I don't want to go back down to the morgue ever again. It's like, I believe it. Anything that has to do with the hospital, I believe it. That place is spooky. Doesn't even need to try. It just is.
It just is.
Yeah.
It's in its essence.
Well, thank you for sending that in, Ace. Mm-hmm. I think that's so interesting.
You played it fucking cool. I am just here to say.
Yeah.
Because of...
Yeah. Our stories would have looked different.
Yes. Yes. I was a hot mess without any ghostly encounters.
Yeah. And then you add that little sprinkle into the mix. Yeah, no thanks.
Absolutely not.
Oh, God. All right. So our next one is actually an update from our listener, Chloe.
Oh, Chloe.
So Chloe sent in a story back in September about the memory she had of a funeral mm-hmm. that her family says never happened. And that funeral was for a woman named Rose. I believe when we read her story, we asked if she had anyone in her family named Rose.
Mm-hmm.
So this is her update. She said, I just want to say thanks for reading my story and saying your thoughts on it, but I have some more info. I looked up the name Rose on my dad's side using his last name and nothing. On my mom's side, there was also nothing I could find from web searches. I would like to try a DNA test, but since I'm under the age of 21, I can't. If Rose is on my mom's side, I wouldn't be able to find the headstone because most of her family is from Kansas, and we don't know where a lot of her older relatives are buried, so I can't just go look. If she's on my dad's side, she would be somewhere in rural Nebraska, also unknown. Both of my parents completely deny knowing any relative named Rose, and I haven't been able to get in touch with that cousin, because remember she mentioned
mm-hmm.
the cousin at the funeral. I haven't been able to get in touch with that cousin because we only see each other at family events, and I haven't seen them at one for a while, so I don't know if they would remember as well. And then she says, also, one of my closest friends is definitely being followed by some entity, and I can ask her on it if you want to hear more from her.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
Chloe.
Please, Chloe.
Stop doing this to me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Rose thing. That is weird.
So weird.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of memories from when I was like very, very little, like Bowie's age, like that I should not remember, but I do. And I always thought that like I was kind of cuckoo crazy, just making things up in my head until I mentioned something about it to my parents one day. Cause like one of my memories specifically was from when I was like less than 2 years old. And cause my grandfather passed away when I was 3. So it had to have been when I was really young. I had a memory of him bouncing me on his knee
mm-hmm.
and I was facing that wall and I was telling my parents about it and I was like, yeah. And there was like, you guys used to have like this card holder where you would like pin a bunch of cards that you would receive. And they're like, how do you know about that? I was like,
Cause I remember it.
So I think that's really interesting. And
I
think like, I understand some people will say like, well, you can sometimes like you fill the gaps type mm-hmm. of thing to make it make sense to you,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you gotta believe yourself, man. I'm telling you, we know more than we think. You were gonna say something before something. So rudely cut you off.
Oh, it's stupid. I just hardly have any memories from my childhood.
I have very few, but they're very specific, so if that makes you feel better, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I do know that I've heard stories about myself and how I used to try to take my diaper off every night when I was supposed to be sleeping, so my dad had to duct tape it on.
Oh my God. I love the innovation. You know,
still true to this day.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. You know what? I used to hide food in my diaper, specifically Pop-Tarts.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
That's hilarious.
All right. So, this is very similar to Elise's email that she sent in. This is, and it's crazy because we literally just talked about this. Our listener, Colleen, heard our episode on the Ashley Young and Jared Chance case.
Oh my God.
And this is what she sent in. She said, my name is Colleen. I'm a fellow Michigander, as you two. Such a small world. I'm so happy for you ladies and how well you two are doing on your podcast. I tune in every time I see a new episode.
Oh, thank you, Colleen. Cute.
Anywho.
Anywho.
I was going to say anyway. Anywho.
Anywho.
Please forgive me because I may speak English. However, grammar and spelling in the English language is definitely not my strong suit.
Hey.
Same.
Right. Fucking there with you.
So I apologize if something is spelled incorrectly or doesn't make sense. I will try my best. I got you, girl. Oh, yeah. And then she says, so I have a few different spooky tales that I can tell from my childhood. So if you want me to write those in, please let me know. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Colleen,
yes, please.
Firstly, I wanted to tell you about Jared Chance, the evil son of a bitch who murdered Ashley Young.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Chance went to Holland High School with mm-hmm. me. I was in the grade below him, and he was in the same grade as my husband. Back in the day, I was the kind of person that loved everyone. I was the person that liked everyone, and I had a friend in every single group, meaning I had a friend from every little clique. I never understood why people would put themselves into categories, since all I could see was that we were all alike, just dressed differently. I didn't care who you were friends with or what you wore. If we got along and you were a good person, that's all I cared about. Due to me Due to me hanging out with all walks of life led me to having close friends that hung out with Conrad, Jared's little brother. And what also led me to hang out with some of my other friends that was dating Jared in high school. Even back in high school, Jared had a bad temper. Anyone that knew Jared or at least had been around him knew he was off. He had always been off. A few friends of mine and I would talk about how we knew back then that someday he was going to hurt someone.
Oh my God.
He just always had this blank look, like there was nothing behind his eyes. Anytime Jared would show up to gatherings or parties, I never felt safe and would usually leave short after. The scary thing is that after high school, I had a major glow up. Good for you, babe.
Love it.
And I got a message from Jared asking to meet up with me because he wanted to take me out. Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
If she would have taken him up on that. That's so scary. Because, again, if you haven't heard that episode and you don't know.
Oh, my God. Go listen to it.
Jared met Ashley. They went out on a date at a bar, and he brought
her. They were just friends.
Well, yes, supposedly.
But, they went to Mulligan's.
They went to a pub. He brought her back to his place, killed and dismembered her, and then his parents helped try to cover it up.
Still don't know where the head is.
Yes.
And his dad is a former cop.
Yes.
So that's great.
So, God, that's so crazy, though.
I know.
Ugh.
Colleen. Whoa.
She says, I'm very thankful that when I'd gotten that message, I was already in a relationship because I knew he wouldn't take a simple answer of no very well. He does seem like one of those types of guys.
Uh-huh.
That's the last time I had ever heard or seen from him until he was on the news. Also, to make my world even smaller, a family member of mine was dating someone who was best friends with Ashley Young.
What?
That's insane. So many connections. When I say Ashley was a beautiful person inside and out, I mean it. My heart breaks for her family and friends. I pray they find comfort and peace in this cruel world. Anyways, thank you for reading my story. I
have chills.
I know.
Oh my God, Colleen, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that's...
That case just... I mean, it hits home for me. I can't imagine for you.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't even know what to say.
I don't know, but I just felt my leg hair grow. Whew. Wow. He is a scary motherfucker. Thank God you did not...
I know.
...have to... Thank God you knew to say no.
I know. Oh, my God. But it just, like, breaks my heart for Ashley, too, you know? Ugh, that's just
heart-wrenching. It just makes it even more so, like, she was just trying to be good.
Yeah.
Like, she was
see the good in,
yes.
in somebody.
And try to, you know, be someone's friend when they're down on their luck.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's it. It's just fucking horrible.
He's evil.
Absolutely evil.
All right, so this will be our final story from this round of our listener tales. And this one is from actually our one of our patrons, Liv.
Liv
says, I hope you two had a lovely holiday season.
Thank you.
Thanks. I adore your podcast and have binged it over my winter break. You two keep me so much company and make me laugh.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor. I have a tale about an experience I had a long time ago, and I still think about it to this day. I'm 23, and this started when I was about 2. I was reminded of this experience after listening to one of your listener tale episodes. From a very early age, I have this memory of myself being in this very narrow hallway. Narrow hallway.
I wish you guys could see her because she stopped for a second, looked me in the eye, and said it again.
Hallway. The walls were white with pipes running along the ceiling and the walls. The carpet in this hallway was red, and at the end of the hallway, there is a wooden chair with a red felt seat. I remember I was a little girl. I had a very long dress on with braids and my long hair. As I'm walking in this hallway, I'm holding someone's hand, and I can remember looking up at this person and knowing her to be my mom. However, she does not look anything like my mom, but I feel this maternal relationship with her. Her outfit is similar to mine, in which she has a long dress and her hair is pinned up with some kind of hairpiece decoration. As she and I walk towards this chair, a tall man in a suit and top hat turns the corner and bends down to speak to me. That is all I can remember of this. When I was a child, I would ask my mom about it all the time, and she would just dismiss it as a reoccurring dream, though it felt like a memory to me, and I just always kept it in the back of my mind. I would speak about it every now and again, but nobody understood what I was talking about, so I just let it go. When I was in fifth grade, I learned about the Titanic.
Oh! The Titanic had red carpet in the hallways!
And she said a narrow... Yeah. Okay, let me just finish the story. I was absolutely obsessed with it. Same. Did you have like a weird morbid obsession? Because mine was like the Titanic, the Holocaust, Columbine. Like I would study as much as I could about that because I was just so interested in like... I mean, it's kind of fucked up, but...
I mean, I feel like usually when I hear about something fucked up, I...
Or like Rome.
Just go all on it.
I was obsessed with Rome.
Huh.
Like the Colosseum and everything. Anyways. So she says, I was absolutely obsessed with it. I collected every book I could. I had a binder with newspaper clippings about it and any little hint of history I could about why it sank and the conspiracy theories that went along with it.
Interesting. I didn't know that they were conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I've heard that there are conspiracy theories because supposedly there were like some very, very, very wealthy people on the ship.
Okay.
But I'd like to know what these conspiracy theories consist of.
Liv.
Liv.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
we gotta look into that. Tell us about that, please.
She says, I was so obsessed with it that I would spend hours going over photos and evidence about why the ship sank other than the massive ass iceberg. I remember sitting in my fifth grade classroom, flipping through a book about the Titanic and the furniture and luxurious features inside. When I flipped the page, my heart absolutely dropped. In this book was the exact hallway I remember seeing when I was a kid. The chair, the walls, the carpet, it was identical. I was so confused. Damn. About what I was looking at and how I had seen that place before. I was so excited and confused that I told my mom as soon as I came home. I told her I found a picture of the place I used to talk about as a kid, the hallway and the chair. Once again, since I was so young, she dismissed it as a dream. Now that I am 23, I'm extremely spiritual. I've listened to so many podcasts about past lives. I'm convinced that this was my past life. I hear stories about how younger children are more likely to remember these things, and since I was reminded of this memory in fifth grade, it all came flooding back to me. I've looked everywhere to find this photo again so I can show people when I tell the story, but even now, when I talk about it, I can see the scene so vividly in my mind, it feels like I'm still there.
Oh my gosh.
That's insane. I love a good reincarnation story.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. I totally believe it.
To me, I mean, I don't know, just I feel like it just makes the most sense to me when I'm, you know, thinking about, you know, our souls and the universe and all that stuff. That is crazy, though.
Well, how else would you know? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I stand on, like, deja vu type of thing. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I have deja vu where I can literally predict what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think it's like, maybe, like, time doesn't exist, right? It's just this construct that we've invented. Mm-hmm. Because time doesn't exist, maybe I'm existing on another plane somewhere. And my life is playing out just in a different way. I've made different decisions. And led me. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just a fucking loser. Right. It's led me down different paths in my life. And it's like, maybe that's what deja vu is. Like, I'm so open to this whole idea of like our souls having been in places before. And we're like, I don't know. It's just, it's so interesting to me. I love it. If you haven't seen the Netflix show Dark and you're into that stuff, you gotta watch it. It's so interesting. I've told you about it. I told you about it when we were playing the the game. So good. Thank you, Liv. That was a great story. We have a lot more where that came from, but we'll have to do another Listener Tales episode soon so we can get caught up. But yeah, that's all we have for our episode today.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks for being here and sticking it out with us.
Thanks for putting up with our bullshit.
Yeah.
Not being around. I'm so sorry. But yes, everyone who said I have more stories, if you'd like to hear them, the answer is yes, please write in. And what was it, Chloe that had the friend?
Yes, Chloe.
Ask your friend. I would love to know. Please. Yes.
Tell me more.
Yes. It makes me think of the episode from Radio Rental called Parasite, where the girl has an attached entity that they call a parasite. It freaks me the fuck out. If y'all want to listen to it, Radio Rental. Episode Parasite. Don't know what number it is, but it is.
Is that whole show hosted by Rainn Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I love
that. Yeah, it's made by Payne Lindsay, who's awesome. Right. Does Up and Vanish, also love. New season. Oh my god.
Really?
Yes, in Alaska. It's so good. That is my favorite podcast of all time.
Why didn't you tell me?
I thought you would know.
No.
Stay up on that sheet.
Okay.
But cool. Then, yeah, Rainn Wilson, Dwight Schrute. You don't know.
If you're unaware.
He hosts it. It's a great show. Mm-hmm. And Parasite is
the name of the episode.
It gives me the fucking creeps.
Ooh, like, I like getting the creeps.
Yeah. She talks about how when it first came into her life, she like felt something on the bed. And then it was, like, sniffing her up and down. Yeah.
Ew.
Yep.
I love it. All right, I'm going to check that out.
Okay.
Anyways, I hope you all have a lovely week. And remember to
always keep it spooky.